As we make preparations to hear these words of Scripture from Mark's Gospel, if you are able, I would invite you to please stand. Hear these words that come to us from the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 13. People were bringing children to Jesus so that he would bless them. But the disciples scolded them. When Jesus saw this, he grew angry and said to them, "Allow the children to come to me. Don't forbid them, because God's kingdom belongs to people like these children. I assure you that whoever doesn't come to God's kingdom like a child will never enter it." And then he hugged the children and bless them. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives and living. Give us now a sense of rest and peace from those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. This passage of Scripture begs for the question, are you a child of God? What is a child of God? Who is a child of God? We read some terms in the Scripture, child of God and sons of God. But I believe all of us have been created by God. And this then would lead me to believe that we are all children of God. I remember not too long ago at a funeral service where a young man had died, and this young man had, well, over the years developed issues of dependency. And at his funeral, as one of our United Methodist colleagues was preaching this funeral service for the family, who the dad also happened to be a clergy person, after the funeral, one of our other clergy person came up and challenged the preacher for calling this young man a child of God because of his past, and said, "How dare you call him a child of God?" I wasn't around, but I heard of that story after the fact, and I can't tell you the thoughts that went through my head. Jesus taught that we need to come to him as God's children. Jesus taught that being a child of God, even though it is an individual matter, whether we claim that relationship or not, that it's based on the effects of our knowledge of God in our life. That being a child of God is not a privileged status given to an elect nation, but how God fits into our life, and do we recognize that? And I don't know of any of us as God's children who live lives perfectly. Is God involved in your life? Then you're a child of God. But what does this mean? And how do we live it out? That's the difficult part. And the sayings of Jesus throughout Scripture were led to believe that to be a child of God is to allow the presence of Almighty God to show throughout our lives within our daily living. And yes, that some days is easier than it is other days. Are we becoming more Christ-like, more God-like? And that's easier said than done every day as well. The words of John Wesley would be, are we moving on to perfection? But Jesus challenges us to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And he also says in Luke's gospel, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as Almighty God is merciful. Now, in this passage of Scripture this morning, the standard norm for children was that children were not allowed to disturb the teacher and his students. But once again, the disciples intervening and trying to get the children to leave Jesus just shows that the disciples have not yet grasped a hold of Jesus' mission and ministry, which is inclusive and not exclusive. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, Jesus says, will not enter it. Children were not considered persons in their own right. They had no status, no power, no position in society. Yet Jesus insists that God's rule exists for the lowly. The child in ancient days, these children were dependent upon their father. The father decided whether or not the child would be accepted into the family. The child belonged to the father and was subject to the father and his authority even as adults. The saying to receive the kingdom like a child then must refer to this radical dependence of a child upon the father for any status, for any inheritance, or even in some families where the child might be abandoned and left to die, the child was dependent upon his father for life itself. And so these words warn the disciples, warn us, that we are really dependent upon God's radical grace. Radically dependent upon God's grace and God's forgiveness. The grace of this holy meal that is before us today. A meal that comes to us through the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's through God's grace that we are given status, that we are given inheritance, that we are given life itself. People were bringing children to Jesus so that he would bless them. But the disciples scolded them. But when Jesus saw this, he grew angry at the disciples and said to them, look, you need to allow these little children to come into my presence. Don't keep them away. Don't forbid them. Because God's kingdom belongs to people who will come like these little children. I assure you that whoever does not welcome God's kingdom like a child, knowing that they need to rely on God's kingdom for inheritance, for status, for life itself, well, then they can't come and enter it. And then Jesus hugged the children and blessed them. In this holy meal today, let us come to Jesus. And as we come, let us remember. Let us remember that night when Jesus gathered with his disciples in that upper room. It was a meal that was prepared, a meal that symbolized the Hebrews' deliverance from slavery of some 500 years in Egypt. That Seder meal reminded them of God's angel of death going through the land, where if that marking of blood was not on the doorway from that lamb that was slain that night, if that marking was not there, then the firstborn of every person and every animal died that night. They were then delivered by the blood of the Lamb as they left Egypt and went into the promised land and made preparations to go into that land some 40 years later. But that night, as Jesus was sharing that holy meal, he took bread. He lifted that bread to the heavens, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, and it's broken for you." And then he said, "Eat and remember me." The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broken then for you today. And as that supper was coming to a close, Jesus picked up a cup. He said, "This cup is the blood of a new covenant, my blood that is shed for you." Now the disciples knew well about blood being shed as part of the sacrificial system. And imagine some of the questionings. What's he talking about? His blood being shed. And that final complete sacrifice was offered. As Christ says, "Drink and remember me." This morning you will notice as the trays of bread are passed, hold your bread together, and then as one body we will commune. But the breads are different kinds, different colors, different shapes, different sizes, representing our brothers and sisters that gather with us today around the world to receive communion on World Communion Day. I want to remind you that in the United Methodist Church, we practice open communion. This table is open to all. This is that time of year when there are yard signs all over the place. Doesn't matter your theological position on any issue. It doesn't matter your position on any church view. It doesn't matter whether you are young or old, male or female, black or white. It doesn't matter. For through this meal, your past is forgiven and wiped away to remembered no more. And Christ invites us to come. The ushers will wait upon you. Pass to your brothers and sisters, hold the elements, and then together as one body, we will commune together. Christ invites us all. Let us come. Thank you. simple piece of bread, but given eternal significance and the best gift of everything you've ever received, of all of the gifts you've ever received. This, my friends, is the most precious. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's been broken for you. Eat and remember Him. Amen. Cup of the New Covenant, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for an imperfect world to seek to make us perfect. Receive grace and forgiveness this day, that all is forgiven, and drink and remember Him. Amen. Gracious and loving God, Your presence is upon us and within us. And in this holy mystery, we experience Your grace and forgiveness. O God, continue to bless us and empower us to be Your church, to be Your children, to be Your servants to the world. For it's in Christ our Lord that we pray. Amen.